Well, hello. This is Jeff Gattiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And although it's been thriving for decades, 2020 really feels like a watershed year for progressive music. There's been a number of great releases with even more on the horizon. And the influence behind most of these releases traces back to one man, and that's Neil Morse. And whether you know him from his groundbreaking work with Spock's Beard, his extensive solo catalog, or his just stunning achievements with the Neil Morse Band, chances are, if you love prog rock, you're a fan of his. Please welcome Neil Morse. Neil, welcome.
Thank you. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Now, let's get in. You have a new collection coming out alongside Mike Portnoy and Randy George. It's not only the third installment of your cover-to-cover series, but also kind of a deluxe version with all three records. How did the idea of a covers record first come up with you guys?
Well, it became a tradition that when we were done working on these, you know, progressive rock epic, you know, kind of albums that are really difficult and intricate and so involved, you know, it became kind of a tradition. I can't remember. I mean, it started in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. That we would, it started with a request from record companies. Like, I remember the Japanese company would say, hey, can you give us a bonus track?
Mm-hmm.
And so it started off like that. Oh, what can we bang out really quick at the end, you know? And then, you know, Mike is so into covers, you know, I mean, so that
he is.
That would became something that we would talk about when we would sit at the table to start a question mark or a solo scriptura or whatever, you know, we'd start talking about the album, and then someone would invariably say, enough about that. What are we going to cover this time? You know? So it started off just like, you know, with having a little bit of time at the end of the session. If we had time, we would do three or four easy songs that we all just enjoy. And that's how it started out.
And when you guys do your versions, you tend to stay fairly true to the original, you know, a couple embellishments here and there. You know, do you guys work them out together, or, you know, if it's Mike's idea for a song, does he come in with an arrangement? How do you guys put them together once you decide what to do?
Well, we usually, again, you know, especially in the beginning, and even on this one, by the way, Cover to Cover 3 is the first one that we made actually as an album. They weren't just bonus tracks collected, you know, over, you know, the years. We usually just kick it around, and most of the time, honestly, we just like the way they originally were, and we cut them pretty close to how they were, unless it's a song that I used to play, like, in the clubs, and I, you know, sort of changed it as I played it every night, which is the case on some of the songs. Then we might change it up a little bit. The guy who's really into changing covers is Bill Hubauer. He actually kind of like refuses to track something. He's like, what's the point in just recording something just as it was? But, you know, I mean, it's different when you got, you know, our version of Baker Street is very different. We just started playing it, and just our approach to playing it being who we are, you know, and my way of singing is a little different. And, you know, it's like, Smokey Robinson's version of You Really Got a Hold on Me and the Beatles version is pretty much the same arrangement, but it sounds totally different because it's the different guys doing it.
Well, and I think that's the thing, you know, all of you guys have very strong musical personalities, and it comes out in each of these, you know, like certain songs you listen to, you're like, oh yeah, you could tell, you know, Neil played with that vocal or Mike added that rhythm into it. So your personalities definitely come through in these covers.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, some of us, are, in some cases, our personalities are so strong that they'll come through anything. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, that's why people like to, you know, like our records. And, you know, it isn't, you know, and I've learned, you know, speaking of personality, a lot of what people like about artists isn't just what's on the recording, you know, there's something about the people that they identify with, you know, or they, you know, I don't know, that they like. And that's a big part, too.
Well, and I think that goes a long way, especially with the music you've made over your career. I think people have such personal relationships with it that, you know, again, the personalities come through. They almost feel like they know who, you know, you and the band are because they've digested so much of your music.
Right, sure. Yeah, it's really a sharing, isn't it? And when you a live performance at its best, you know, is this, you know, sharing of hearts, you know, it's great.
Yeah, and we've mentioned Mike and Randy George. They've been by your side for decades. You've mentioned how some of these recordings went back to the early days. What is it you think about the three of you that forms such a solid core when you play together?
Well, it's a real natural thing. You know, we like a lot of the same stuff. It's the same with Rich Mauser, who mixes our things. You know, I can just say, something like, I'm looking for this snare sound, and he'll go, oh, you mean like Rocky Mountain Way? And I'll go, exactly. Like, they'll know a lot of times what I'm going for when I don't even realize it, you know? And so it just works out really well. And I think, there's a blending of personalities that work well. And, you know, there's a certain amount of, between Mike and I, it's very well documented that there's a little bit of friction there sometimes. But I think sometimes that friction, you know, creates, you know, some of the energy that makes our partnership so great.
And I, you know, and even when sort of the band expands, you mentioned the great Bill Hubauer and Eric Gillette on guitars, just an incredible find. You know, the voices as well. You know, you're never one to say, well, okay, I'm the only voice in this. Everybody sings, especially live. That mix of voices is really something that you don't see in a lot of bands.
Oh, yeah, what a blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, Fox had that, too, you know, with Nick, mm-hmm. Nick being on singing on top and me in the middle and Al on the bottom. That was a nice blend as well, you know. Oh, yeah, that was one of the reasons why I decided, because it started off with me doing YouTube auditions, looking for people to play my music live, mm-hmm. right? And so we did a couple of tours like that where they were, you know, playing, you know, what I'd written. But with their, you know, their voices and their musicianship and who they are, and after being together for a while, I was like, man, maybe we ought to do a band album where we all just come in and start creating, you know, and that started the Grand Experiment, and then, of course, Similitude and the Great Adventure.
Well, that's the thing. I think when you're writing, do you sit down and say, like, okay, this is a solo record, or, you know, this is going to a band record? Is there a difference when you're writing, or is it only when it's done that you see which makes the most sense?
Sometimes I know right away. Like, sometimes I'll write something, like when I wrote Shine, for example, mm-hmm. I wrote that some 3 or 4 years before Transatlantic got together to make the Kaleidoscope album. But I just knew something in me thought that I should save that for Transatlantic. You know, sometimes you can just feel that something's kind of earmarked. But the main difference for me, if I'm writing something for the Neil Morse Band or for myself, a lot of it has to do with the vocals. If I'm writing something for, you know, a solo thing for me, I will, you know, stay in my range. And I noticed that, like, on this new album of mine, Sola Gratia, that's coming out September 11th, I've just got the final mixes. I was just listening in the car. I noticed that when I'm writing for myself, I don't generally do as many big three-part harmony vocal choruses like we do in the Neil Morse Band. But it's more of a natural thing. It just seems to kind of happen. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it works.
And we're not going to gloss over the fact that you just announced a new record coming on September 11th.
Yes.
Can you give a little details on, you know, what's behind the record? Is it, you know, the story, the sound?
It is, you know, it has all the Neil Morse Band guys on it. Mm-hmm. Mike does most of the drums on it. I kept my drums, my demo drums on one song. Randy's playing bass on it. Bill's playing piano and helped me a lot with sound effects and other things. And Eric takes a solo or two. But I wrote, the big difference is I wrote the whole thing. it's kind of my, it's really my COVID album. You know, it's the first album that we've ever made remotely. Mike did the drums at his house. And it is kind of an extension of Sola Scriptura. And that's why it's called, that's why it's called Sola Gratia, or Only by Grace in Latin. And it tells, one more thing about it. It does, it is the concept of a Prog concept album. And it tells the story of Saul's conversion to Paul from the Book of Acts in the Bible.
Well, now again, I think to me there's two hallmarks to your writing, and you just had them both in one sentence there. Your faith and your spirituality, as well as your ability to tell a story. And you know, while the stories in your albums always bring in your faith, why do you think that your music in particular sort of transcends, you know, sort of the Christian music label and does reach such a wide audience?
Well, it's totally different from any Christian music that I've heard.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Because it's more, you know, it's more, you know, first of all, it's progressive rock. Second of all, it's kind of storytelling. I think people that are not spiritual or not religious can relate to it because they like the music usually, if they do like it. And I try to make it very relatable. You know, I try to make it like more like spiritual pictures, you know, and metaphors and things. And I try not to, you know, hit people over the head with, you know, different things that might be a stumbling block. You know, I generally just try to say what I feel like the Lord wants to say through me in this particular piece of music and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, that's what I think. Even though you're telling a specific story, you have the ability with your writing for people to see themselves in that story. You know, it's not just the literal story you're telling. And, you know, I think that's something that really brings people in and draws them to the music.
Yeah, well, that's the goal. I mean, the whole point is relating. You know, the whole point is for people to see themselves in it and then hopefully see themselves, you know, taking a step out in faith in the spiritual also. You know, I mean, if they see themselves in So Far Gone from Similitude, for, you know, for an example, maybe they might see themselves, you know, getting back on the good road that the guy does in the story.
And one of the other things that you've become really well known for is the Morse Fest, which is an amazing annual celebration of music and surprises. And with the pandemic, naturally, this year's version is going to be a little different. Why don't you talk a little bit about how this year's Morse Fest is going to be presented?
Well, for me, it's all about the music. so that was one of the things that I was hoping for. When I started writing Sola Gratia, it was like, because Mike and I had been talking about what we could do this year. Even before the pandemic, back in January, we were talking about it. And, well, we knew that we, you know, had this cover album, and so we want to have a cover-to-cover night, which we've never done, you know, to really do it upright with horns and strings and all of that is going to be awesome. But then on the second night, you know, we wanted to have, you know, transatlantic or something, but that just couldn't happen because of people's schedules. And again, this is before the pandemic, which made everything even more impossible. But then I got inspired and wrote this whole album, and I thought, man, if I could finish this in time, and I started talking to Inside Out Records, you know, it's like, if I can finish this in time, could we get this released before this date so we could do, you know, debut it at Morse Fest? And of course, as you know, that's what's happening. That's what's happened. So for me, that's the main dish. The main dish is this new album. And I know people haven't really, they haven't heard it, but just trust me, if you like Question Mark or Sola or, you know, or One or any of those kinds of albums, you're going to want to be there for this because it's as good as any of those things, I think. And so that's the main thing. And then, you know, we're going to do all kinds of other things. We can have only a limited amount of people in the room. So we also have virtual tickets. But people can be in the room, but not very many. And we still have tickets available for all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people go to neilmorse.com and check it out if they want to come. But we're going to be doing the Inner Circle concert and the jam and, you know, the interviews and the, you know, the VIP stuff and, you know, all the cool stuff that goes along with Morse Fest.
Yeah, and again, people can go on your website and find out how to take part in that virtually. So if you don't get one of those tickets in the room, you can experience the whole thing online, which I think is really one of the benefits that have come out of all this, is sort of the creativity that people have come up with on how to get their music out there when you can't go and tour.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, we have all kinds of really cool ideas about what we can do. There's a virtual VIP, and we're going to have, you know, cameras backstage and be taking questions. We're going to play charades with people online. And and so, like, imagine Mike Portnoy acting out a movie title and, like, just a movie stuff, right? And the people online, the first person to type it in will get shipped a, you know, a gift or something, you know, signed, whatever. And so we're going to do our best to make it as, you know, as much like a regular one as we can, in spite of the circumstances.
And one of the other things, too, I want to bring up is you're one of the few artists that has really kind of done their own streaming thing with Waterfall and have it be successful. Talk a little bit about what Waterfall is and what goes into it.
Well, it's a streaming app. So it's something you have on your phone. And, you know, if you subscribe, then you have access to, like, some 100 albums that I've made, and a lot of things that aren't available anymore, things that are out of print, and all the mainstream stuff too, all the Transatlantic Flying Colors and Neil Morse Band, and, you know, all my stuff, and it's great because you can access it anywhere. You can actually download the stuff onto your phone, so you can listen to it anywhere. Mm-hmm. Also, and if the phone rings, you can pick it up and it'll pause and then it'll play again when you're done. You don't have to get up to change the record. That's my personal favorite part.
Everybody has their favorite part of it, and that's yours.
Not having to actually stand up, that's the best.
Exactly. You know, for those of us of a certain age, that's a big thing.
Right.
And, you know, throughout your career, I mean, you've had some pretty landmark records. I mean, whether, you know, it's Snow with Foxbeard or Whirlwind with Transatlantic or, you know, Testimony, Similitude. But as you look back over, you know, the 25-plus years of your career, what records do you think define who Neil Morse is?
Wow. In other words, if I had to recommend one record to somebody?
Right. If somebody came to you and said, you know, let me know what I should listen to give me the full feel of who and what Neil Morse is.
Well, let's see. I guess it would depend a little bit on who they are.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite, I mean, it depends on who they are. Like, if they're like a really strong Christian person, I might tell them Testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Or One. One is actually my favorite, my personal favorite. If not, you know, I might tell them Similitude of a Dream. I mean, I think that one, you know, kind of sums up the whole scope of it. I mean, it has to be people with long attention spans. You know, most people, 2 hours of music. Wow,
this isn't the 3-minute pop song.
Right. And if you want, if they like pop music, my best songwriter pop album, I think, is Life and Times from a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they were, you know, people with more normal taste, I might suggest that.
Well, Neil, I can't thank you enough for taking some time with me today. Cover to Cover, the third installment, it's out July 24th, as well as sort of the deluxe edition that brings together all three of them. And check out Neil Morse online for all of your Morse Fest updates. That sounds like it's going to be something that, if you're a fan, really can't be missed. So thank you. Best of luck with the new record. I can't wait to hear it. And we get to talk again soon or catch you on tour.
All right, man. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great.
You too.
Take care.